With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Sans Pants Radio, where every fuck is a love fuck. Welcome to this week's episode of Movie Maintenance. I'm Damien.
I'm Tom.
I'm Carney.
And this week we're looking at downsizing.
Worst film of the next 20 years. I don't even know what year did it come out?
It came out last year, so do you call it worst film of 2017, or is it worst film of 2018 because you watched it?
I watched it in 2018, so it's worst film of 2018.
I call it Matt Damon needs a slap on the wrist, because that was garbage. Or maybe
wrists.
Alexander Payne, but either way.
He needs to be kneed in the testicles. This isn't just no slap on the wrist shit. This is a crime against storytelling, a crime against fucking... Oh.
Was it Matt Damon or was it Alexander Payne?
I'd probably look, it's Alexander Both. Payne. But Matt Damon disappeared in this movie. Like,
yeah.
He downsized. Oh!
My patience downsized. Everything fucking downsized.
Yeah.
I actually have an analogy that I came up with today from a lunch yesterday. I decided to treat myself to this burrito. And I was really excited for this burrito. I had in my mind sort of this idea of like a delicious meal. It was going to be tasty. It was going to be easy. Instead, when I sat down to eat it, I found rather than like a tightly wrapped burrito full of like fresh and tasty ingredients, I got a poorly wrapped burrito that dripped everywhere. That's what this movie was.
Yeah.
A loose, sloppy burrito that made me feel disappointed with the world at large. And just life in general.
Matt Damon makes sloppy burritos.
Hey, do you know what's disappointing about the sloppy burrito, though, too? Mm. The ingredients in the burrito, fucking mint. Fucking good ingredients.
Except they were sloppy, though.
But like, they put together they like shit, once. Though.
Yeah.
Like, the meat
so
was
good,
first
a capable chef
oh, yeah.
could have made a good burrito.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. Even the chef who made the burrito could have made a good burrito if he had just decided to make one fucking burrito instead of trying to put eight burritos into one.
Interesting. He tried to make everything that he had on the menu.
Oh, he just was like, you know what? This Damo guy, this drob fella, looks all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to make him every burrito I've possibly got. What I'm going to do is, I've got this loose premise. I've sat down and gone, hey guys, does this sound like a good idea for a burrito? They're like, yeah, there's a lot of options. He's like, yeah, I could make it this burrito or this burrito or this burrito. And then rather than trying to make one fucking good burrito, he made 20 bad ones.
Yeah. And then the tortilla didn't fit around all his shitty ingredients.
No.
And just fucking fell everywhere.
Oh.
The flavors did not go together.
But what were the flavors?
Matt Damon was no flavor. He was bland as bland could be.
Do you know what?
He was as bland as the corduroys he was constantly wearing. Like, he was Mr. Khaki.
So this is the thing, right? Okay. Alexander Payne has a really good fucking track record. Like, what is he? Sideways, The Descendants.
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Yeah. Did he do The Way, Way Back as well?
No.
Fuck, because that's a good film.
That would have strengthened your argument.
Really would have. But
yeah.
He's done three very good films, gotten really good performances out of leading men who you wouldn't necessarily like. The performance he gets out of...
he did About Schmidt as well, didn't he?
He did do About Schmidt. Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's so, yeah, well, Jack Nicholson... He managed to get fucking Jack Nicholson to
not be Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck. So he gets good... So what he does is he comes along and goes, guys, I've made four really good films. I can just fucking phone this in. Just fucking pick it. Do. Yeah, I want to do a downsizing. Yeah, I don't actually really care about what the film's about. Yeah, cool. Oh, no, it's going to be about racism and like immigration and the environment and overpopulation and like marriage and life and choices and careers. And yeah, it's actually going to be about fucking nothing. That movie actually is symptomatic. That movie is the perfect representation of its trailer, where you watch the trailer and go, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And then the movie comes out and you go, oh, what the fuck is that? Worst film of the year.
Yeah. To use another analogy, he's like someone who's mixed all these different paint colors together and now you've just got one bland, horrible color that looks quite a bit like shit.
It's like the mustard sort of color that Dwight Schrute's shirts are.
Yes.
That sort of color.
Or that Matt Damon's pants are for this movie.
Yes.
It's fair to say we didn't have a great time with it.
I loved it.
Oh, you loved it?
No, I couldn't stand it.
You couldn't keep that. You said it, but your eyes like died. Oh,
yeah, they were dead.
And 2 hours, 15 minutes. Like,
oh, it's bloated.
I'll tell you,
and I just feel like the first 20 minutes don't need them. What's the point of having Kristen Wiig in it and sort of establishing her and then not using her?
No, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing that frustrated me no end. Is we're sitting there watching it, it's going for like 5 or 10 minutes, and Michaela turns to me and is like, what are the stakes of this film going to be? I'm like, I've got no idea. Then bang, Kristen Wiig doesn't go through with it. All of a sudden, you're
that's a good thing. That's
really interesting. Let's go with that. 1 year later, oh, are you fucking serious?
Right.
You're going to skip that this guy made a life decision based on the fact he was going to be with this woman forever. Everything about the life that he is now in is going to remind me of that fact. And instead of like showing that they just jump a year ahead and he's living next door to fucking a drug dealer or something.
With like the saddest girlfriend relationship ever.
It just becomes... And then, like, they tackle all these big ideas. Like, oh, look at the inequality. It still exists when you're downsized because the fucking migrants are doing all the shitty work and they live in a shipping container. End of the film, they still live in a fucking shipping container.
But that comes later. Like, the film at the start, you know, when they're having, like, goodbye drinks with their friends when they've made the decision to have the procedure. And then the drunk guy, I think, is the coach from Glee, isn't it? Is that the guy I'm thinking?
I have no idea.
Anyway, right. I don't know why I looked to you, Tom. I thought you would know.
I liked Glee.
Yeah,
I was going to say I'm a Gleek, but that's fucking weird.
You are in your heart. That guy.
Everyone is in their heart, Sean. Everyone is in their heart.
Anyway, Tom, the drunk guy at the bar, you know, has a go at them and been like, do you think you should have the same voting rights and all this? And you're like, oh, this is interesting.
Well, like, now we've got a movie.
Yeah, at some point, there's going to be a clash between the small guys and the, you know, the ordinary sized humans.
Yeah.
And then you never fucking see them again.
That was it.
It's not a factor.
A little sprinkle of that.
Like, after the procedure and you get used to him living in a world with other people his size, it's just like a regular movie. Like, there's no...
Thank you.
Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
Literally, him being small has no bearing after the halfway point, other than occasionally we get something like him coming in with a giant flower.
Yep.
And that's it. And I was so ready for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids adult version.
Yes.
I wanted like someone to like jump into a pile of cocaine and just OD or something crazy like
that. I would have even loved if Kristen Wiig decides not to do the procedure and then for a little while they try and make it work.
Like, oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. She comes to visit and it's like she's like giant. Oh.
It's
this movie is like there were so many options this movie could have gone in. So many really actually good ones. And they chose the worst possible option
but
available.
They still pick all of the other ones along the way but half-ass them.
Well they kind of say, hey, this movie could have been this something good, but it's not. Stay with Matt Damon, the blandest character
even
ever.
The world they decided to put it in, it's just kind of bland. Like, you could have shown any colony in the world and you just pick like a boring sort of suburbia.
Yeah, it's like a fucking Truman Show ripoff where it's just I really don't know what any of them were thinking.
You either start with the fucking end of the world village and that's the film because that's interesting.
Yeah.
If you decide to focus on the world. But then like...
That felt so tacked on, by the way, at the end. They're just like, oh, by the way, there's a fucking leak or whatever it was. And like, we're all going to die.
That was ridiculous. Even them going to Norway was like not set up at all.
Oh, it's just
like, hey, by the way, she's dragging me around to clean up all these houses. Any way you can get me out of it, I'm going to Norway. Oh, he has to come with me to Norway. I'm going to come too. And then they're all in fucking Norway.
Yeah.
Have you heard of maybe setting up your third act in your first act?
Can I say, he's such a piece of shit too. He goes to Norway to get out of spending time with her. It's like, hang on. I'm supposed to feel that you're relatable? No, Matt Damon, you're a mopey fuckhead.
Well, that's the thing. I think Alexander Payne got really excited about the world and they didn't show us enough of that world, but he got too invested in the world building and we don't have a protagonist that is... He's the least interesting character in the entire film. Everybody else is like, I want to follow them.
Yep. Thank you. Yes, exactly right. Literally, it's like...
I want to follow Kristen Wiig.
I do too. I want to follow. She's got a shaved head and one eyebrow.
Yeah, I want to follow any of the side characters.
Yeah,
like Christoph Waltz could be his character,
his friend,
his weird guy,
he's the boat guy,
boat captain, mate. Yeah, legend.
Wasn't there a thing like, how does the boat sail on? It's like FedEx or something.
Something like
that. I love that.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, and that's the thing. It had these little touches of just intense possibility that it never followed through on. And again, we're just following, because he wants that character from Nebraska, like your everyman kind of a character.
Which is his character in every film.
Which is his character. But this movie, the premise doesn't really need that. It doesn't rely on that. Like, if you're going for a quality sci-fi and you've got this concept, then the movie should. And it starts off this way. Oh, what are the ramifications? Like, what if we could shrink down? Let's see what that world looks like if we can. Which we did. For like 20 minutes,
yeah,
and then it might as well not exist,
yeah,
and then it's fuck well, knows.
And then bring it up to like, well, it's overpopulation, and yeah. If they're smaller, they're not going to be using as much waste and all this sort of thing. But then once people shrink down, they start to, they're like, oh, now I've got $12 million instead of 150,000, and it's everything's excess. And I just feel like the film needed to have, you know, the normal sized people, if you will. Have a backlash against that and be like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, that seems
also nobody
obvious.
Did any fucking, it didn't seem like anyone did any research. Matt Damon just met like a friend at a fucking
Jason Sudeikis high showed up
reunion.
For 30 seconds. Yeah.
Getting like, carried into the party in a box.
A guy that he hasn't fucking seen in like 15, 20 years. Yeah. And him and Christian were like, oh, we should do that because my mum's dead now.
Also, if money is almost nothing, how come Jason Sudeikis didn't just like look at Matt Damon in hard times living in a shit apartment and be like, here's $1,000.
Yeah,
like,
I'm miniature. This means nothing to me now. As well as Kristen Wiig, her character going back on it, when she was the one to suggest they downsize in the first place.
Yeah.
And they seemed like a fairly loving couple. Like, I didn't really, I'm like, why, like, you need to set, again, there's no setup. Like, why did she all of a sudden bail?
So that's the thing, if she all of a sudden bailed, I'd want that explored. That's that for me. If you, okay, depending on the, there's about 8 stories you could tell here, and I'm sure we'll dive into this at
some point.
But I feel like one of those stories is the human ramifications. So that if you have a long-term relationship and it's hit this point where you're both just miserable, and one of you suggests let's do this, and then the person who suggests that backs out of that, it's infinitely relatable.
Yeah,
infinitely relatable. It's now on an extreme scale because it's the thing you backed out of is shrinking down to a quarter of your size or whatever science behind it is. It felt like a lot of just cool gimmicks. No stakes, no heart, no theme. Well, no, too many themes.
Yeah, too many themes, but none that actually eventuated. And like, and because of that, that's part of the reason why Matt Damon's character to me is so bland, is because he didn't have a lesson to learn. He was kind of trying to learn every fucking lesson under the sun. But literally, he didn't have any faults that he learned from. He kind of ended up right where he started. There
had
was
no
arc for him. At all, other than he kind of just did a series of things and then ended up in the same spot. Like you said, he's back in the bloody slums, helping her out or
that
whatever.
That ending is just like one that the film ends and you just sort of shrug and you go,
why?
What a waste.
Yeah. Well, I'm
What's
furious.
The point?
Great. Thank you for a sloppy, but fucking loose burrito.
Here's the other thing though, right? So there are so many things that they could do in terms of if you didn't want to go down that side of it, if you still wanted to have all the weird Norwegian shit, the fact that even though, like, there's this whole thing where they're like, the social commentary of it, of like, even if you downsize and go to this utopia, inequality still exists on a massive fucking scale.
Sure.
They do nothing with that.
Mm.
They, like, Matt Damon doesn't become like, oh, we're just going to bring a guy some fruit every now and again.
Mm.
Like, fucking what? Like, that film either needs to, in my opinion, needs to double down harder on the political and social satire.
Yeah.
Make it a scathing commentary on even in a utopia, we fuck it up and there's still a 1%.
They just dip their toe into it.
Exactly, yeah. Like the question of, are humankind so shitty that we can't actually achieve utopia even when we've got everything going for us? Like,
well, great. And then the example is you send like them to Norway to show that actually this is feasible if you're not cunts about it, but you can't not be because America. Like, do you see what I mean? Like, there's something in that, and they don't do anything with that either.
This film just makes me sad.
Yeah.
Sad for the time I spent.
Yeah.
It's just like,
oh, I'm going to stop it. So yeah. I'm going to say, okay, let's, rather than just be ultra negative, I want to talk about like at least some of the things that we did like, because obviously this movie, in a way, it's actually got huge potential.
Yeah.
So let's look at that. So the concept to me is actually really, it's a great one.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as I actually loved the first 10 minutes. The scientists discovering it. Like, you don't need to go into the science of it because that's kind of unrealistic because it can't be done. But I do like the logic behind it. I like them having to shave their heads and take out the fillings. And, you know, if you've got a pacemaker, well, you can't shrink down because we don't have, you know, you would die in the process.
What was that bit where they didn't detect gold fillings or something and
the head exploded? That's exactly cool. Yeah, like all that is really great stuff. It's good sci-fi. It's taking a pretty basic concept and really extrapolating on it. Like, that's the fun of it. And then we just lack the substance and the story. But those elements to me were really great. That's probably about it. I like literally the first 10 minutes, I was on board. Matt Damon walked in and I was done.
Yeah, for me, I love the scientific concept, not the actual concept of the film, because with Matt Damon as the lead, it's just boring and shit.
Yeah.
It's just there's so many aspects of it that just have too much fat. Like, why, even the start, why are we with Matt Damon and his mum? And then it jumps 10 years.
Yeah,
and
it's thank
like,
you.
It's
yeah,
not
yeah,
relevant
yeah.
at all to the film, like ever again.
No.
That's weird.
I like, is it just meant to be, hey, he's a good guy?
And then he even needs like characters to remind him of that. No, you're a good guy. And he's like, oh, shucks. And it's like, what am I watching?
Yeah. we should literally jump from the TED Talky reveal to Matt Damon at the party with his mate walking in, being like, hey, it's awesome being small.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we need.
You can even cut the TED Talk reveal. Do that over the opening credits.
Yeah. All right. Beautiful. Yeah. Because this movie, like I said, it's got so much fat. It goes for fucking over 2 hours and feels like
5.5. Yeah. Like I was saying to you guys before, it felt like I had two meals.
Yeah.
Like I had lunch, the film got halfway through, and then I had dinner.
And I'd even give it a bit of a nudge that the marriage is sort of struggling and she kind of perhaps hints that like maybe this is the fresh start we need. And so he's like, oh, okay, and goes along with it. And then she fucks him over.
And that's why it's so much, that's my interest is that as soon as that happened, as soon as she's like, I'm out, I'm like, oh, here you go. This story just became infinitely more interesting. And then they just go 1 year later and you're like, really?
Yeah.
They take away the part that you actually want to see.
Yeah.
And like, give you something. Every time it teases. And that's I think the frustrating thing. That's why I'm so angry about it is all of the potential is there. I really like some of the social commentary and the political satire of it all. The fact that the Norwegians just decided we're going to build a fucking tunnel and just be in there for 10. That was the goal. The goal the whole time wasn't to shrink down and minimize waste. It was to shrink down so that we could live in the crust of the earth until everything
like
else blew over.
Wait for the apocalypse, then crawl our way out again. Yeah, it's like every decision they made was to try to keep it mundane. We'll skip over the fun parts. Like, even him in his McMansion thing with the rings coming in, you know, and it's heartbreaking. And that was like in a montage. And then, all right, back to the boring parts.
Yeah. I would have loved a running joke of him being burnt by the shower every time he gets in a shower because hot.
Yeah.
There's that whole like thing of, like, careful, it's really hot. He's like, oh, yeah, whatever. And then you just cut to him like screaming in the bath.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I want that. Do that every time he has a shower until the end he finally like adjusts the tap.
I love a lot of the ideas that are at like the fringes
of
what they ended up going with. Like, just even things like the potential for like people smuggling.
Yes.
Stuff like that is great.
Yep. Punishment.
Yeah, punishment. Like, she got shrunk down against her will.
Because she was a political prisoner.
Mm, stuff like that's cool. But then they just, like, again, they dip their toe in it, but they don't do anything because they're so focused on making sure that we get the Matt Damon story.
Yeah. Which was the least interesting of all the stories. Yep. I don't know what Alexander Payne was thinking about.
Nothing. He was like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we were small? And everyone was like, yeah, make that in your movie. And he's like, oh, okay, guys. And then, like, a year later, they're like, oh, so have you made that in your movie? He's like, oh, yeah, just give me, like, $500 million, I'll be back. Because that's an expensive fucking movie to make.
Oh, can I say one more bit that I hated?
Yeah, go.
It drove me crazy. When Matt Damon and Kristen Wiig are in the meeting with the woman before they go through the procedure, and she's asking them questions and basically getting them to say yes, yes. She keeps referring to it as the procedure commonly known as downsizing.
Yeah.
She keeps saying that known as downsizing. Just call it whatever the official name is.
Right, like, yeah.
And let the other characters call it downsizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you know what would be hilarious if everyone called it like a really technical name? He downsizes, meets Christoph Waltz, and Christoph Waltz calls it downsizing.
Right. Mm.
Like, that would be nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's how I feel about this film.
Yeah.
Is it's so frustratingly dumb and wasted. It's like,
I like that. Summarize a film in a sound.
Well, no, like, you could do it with like films that are good too, like films you enjoy. Oh, yeah. This one, it's like, all right. Okay. Do you know what this film is? This film is the filmic cinematic equivalent of getting a shit present for Christmas, but having to pretend that you like it.
Oh, yeah, well done.
Because then in private, you walk away and go,
fuck was that, Nana? Yeah. She ever met me? Fucking hell. I don't even like colouring books.
My auntie once bought my cousin pyjamas for Christmas and he didn't even care what anybody thought. In front of her, he just put them in the bin.
Oh, no.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. I wish I had his courage.
I mean, how do you put this film in the bin? Yeah. I think I need to write Alexander Payne a letter or something like that. Not even an email. Yep. I want him to know I went to the effort of writing a letter posting it.
Right, make it really small.
Oh, yeah. Be like,
yes.
So it's tedious and difficult, like your film.
Thinking about all the little... I kept waiting for a character to be like reading a book or something.
Yeah, right.
Just thinking, because they keep talking about, oh, everything's cheaper because it's small. Mm. It costs a lot of money to make a
book. To miniaturize.
Did anyone read a book in the movie? I kept waiting for it, because I'm like, if the book is miniaturized, it would be enormous.
Right.
Like, there'd be so many pages.
Yeah. It'd be like walking across the book.
Yeah, right.
Could be, mate. Like, even then, even those visual gags.
Amazon, it's like a... dude. It's a Kindle.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah.
You don't downsize and read paper.
But even then, yeah, they had a few of those visual gags like the flower and that sort of stuff. But you could have built on that so much more. Like Christoph Waltz, his character buying the cigar and stripping it down to miniature cigars. I'm like, that's genius. I'm like, I don't even know why this guy's meant to be like seedy. Like, that's just smart. You're just a good businessman.
He's the best, but he just... like, he's wasted as well because they just don't give him anything to do. And he's like, let's go to Norway. Oh, this is depressing. Okay, the end. That's it. That's the film.
Here's to me what his character was meant to be, okay? So Matt Damon comes in blank slate because he's as blank as anyone I've ever fucking seen before.
He's been burnt by his wife,
but somehow still not bitter about it, whatever. And then he's got Christoph Waltz to be the bad influence. And then he's got Nocklan. Is that how we say her name?
Sure.
Nocklan to be like, hey.
Be really racist when you say it, Damo, because she talks with a really fucking racist Vietnamese-American accent.
We're so close to getting to that because it's very exciting how terrible her character was. And he's got Nocklan on the other hand to be like, hey, look, I'm helping the poor, I'm feeding people, even though I myself am poor, and I'm going to drag you along whether you want to or not.
Yep.
So he's meant to have that like demon and angel on his shoulder, except both characters didn't even really fulfill that one-dimensional element, and you still couldn't pull it off.
Mm.
So
yeah, like it almost should have been like a battle for his soul between those two characters. But Christoph Waltz guy is not...
he couldn't care less. He's like, whatever, not even like, you're cleaning my house now. Yeah, go for it, you idiot.
Yeah, like to him, it's all just a joke. Like I almost wish that part of this movie was like Matt Damon teaming up with Christoph Waltz and kind of like having to work with him or something. And we get to explore the black market stuff a bit more because that was interesting.
Immediately more interesting. Yeah. Immediately. Anyway, Nocklan. Let's get into this.
Nocklan.
So...
Nocklan Tran.
Nocklan Tran.
Yeah.
Also known as the most stereotypical character I've seen in the last, at least couple of years.
People get upset about whitewashing. How are people not upset about the fact that you had a white director tell a Thai American actress to put on a Vietnamese American nail salon accent?
Yeah.
Like they made her put on like, it's like that great interview with what's his name from The Big Sick.
Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, thank you. And they're always like, he talks to her, like when he auditions for stuff, they want to make his, can you push her accent further? Can you talk like a poo from The Simpsons? And he's like, I'm not that nationality.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Or Aziz Ansari gets that same thing where in auditions, they're like, oh no, can you be Indian? And he's like, I'm from North Carolina. I'm not Indian.
Right. Yeah.
It just, fuck. Speaking of fuck, she gets the worst fucking piece of dialogue in the world.
Please say it.
Oh, when she asks Matt Damon if their sexual encounter...
What precedes this, though?
Yeah.
Because it's she's an amputee,
right?
And it's him giving her leg a rub down. And bear in mind, there's been no chemistry...
She fucking hates him
between them.
Matt Damon literally has no chemistry with anybody. Between them, it's in the negative. It's non-existent. She might as well think of him as a table because she couldn't care less.
So he's rubbing the stump down.
Hot.
Hot.
She lets out a little whimper. And then suddenly her eyes are closed and he goes in for a kiss. And I'm like, creepy Damon. Yeah. What is this shit? Where'd this come from? And then she's into it. And then
who doesn't love a good stump rub?
The next day, they have a massive fight after having sex. No, it's a couple of days later. They have sex. And she's like, what kind of fuck was that?
And he's like, excuse me?
And she's
like, the audience is as well.
There are lots of fucks. Pity fuck, love fuck, buddy fuck, friend fuck. Shut up.
Yeah.
No.
But all of this in aggressive... harsh, broken,
nail salon, stereotypical.
So it was like, how you fuck me? And Matt Damon's just bewildered.
Yeah. As were we all.
It's one of those things where if I did her voice,
Like, I may as well be doing blackface. It is so stereotypically
like,
bad.
I would judge you, even though I know you're just ripping off this terrible fucking movie.
Oh, it's atrocious. And the fact that the final line of the film is him coming back to her after leaving and then realizing he's making a terrible mistake. To be honest, though, he doesn't necessarily come back for her. He comes back and he's like, oh, it's a long fucking way
that's
to
really
walk.
Thought. He says to the guy, how long's the walk? Oh, it's about 11 hours. And then Matt Damon stops and starts thinking, and you're like, do you just not like walking?
Right,
what
yeah.
the hell?
Then he goes back and goes, it was a love fuck.
The music, this is what I hate too. Oh. It's like the most like epic moment of the film. The music builds to its climax, and he just looks at her and goes, I thought about what you said, and you were right. It was a love fuck. And then like...
Meanwhile, in the background, old mate Christoph Waltz is like, the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah. But genuinely, like, what are we, the audience, meant to be feeling in that moment? Are we meant to be like, yeah, Maddie, you go get them? Like, because it's the least romantic line said from the least romantic couple that have no chemistry.
And he says the least romantic gesture. Fuck.
I've had more chemistry with inanimate objects than those two had.
I have too, but I have a weird relationship with some inanimate objects.
He had more more relationship with her stump than the whole rest of her. Like,
that's true.
The fact that he's like, the whole thing was he was fixing a prosthetic for her. But then, every time you unpack a layer, you're like, oh, they didn't fucking do anything with this either.
Right.
I think I zoned out at one stage in the film.
Only one, Sean?
Yeah, no, only one.
Well done.
I reckon because I did it was 80 when times.
I went back and rewatched it, this bit, when he broke her prosthetic foot. Mm-hmm. And then, what was it? To pay her back, he was working for her cleaning company?
Pretty much, yep.
What the fuck?
Yeah, don't you have $8.6 billion because you had 10 bucks when you downsized? Mate, buy her a new fucking leg.
Like, can't he go to his neighbor,
right.
The rich man?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Can you just get her a fucking foot?
Yeah.
Well that's what I thought was going to happen.
Didn't he offer him? He said, I can get you anything you want.
Right.
So go to him and say, get me a foot.
Yeah. No, get me out of doing chores for this lady whose foot I fucked up and whose friend just died of cancer.
And then he's like, I'll help you out. And then this whole plan to go to Norway.
Yeah.
And then she cries.
I'll help you out about you lying that you need to come with me to Norway. Just buy her a fucking foot, mate. Just buy her a foot.
And she goes to Norway because she got invited.
Yeah.
Like ages ago, but never went.
And again, no setup. She's just like, no, I'll come too. I've got an invite. And you're like, what? What is happening?
Everything about it was painful. When he first saw her.
Alexander Painful.
When he first saw her. And she was limping. I thought immediately he was like, oh, she's the one from the TV.
Right.
But it's not until like 5 minutes later when just Matt Damon's acting kicks in. He's like, oh, you, oh my God, you were the, oh. It's a whole movie of him meeting people. And he's like, oh, I can't believe I'm meeting you.
He's fanboying over everyone.
That's little Ronnie or whatever, the first kid born. Oh.
Again, would have been a better character to follow. Little Ronnie having like being a star just for being.
Also the fact that he was a little bit of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's like, I do a lot of drugs.
Yeah, he's garbage. Great. Let's follow his story.
Oh.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've just looked at the IMDb page just because I wanted to look up a couple of the actors in it. And then I thought, why? But it is officially described as a social satire. And they just miss the fucking ball.
Yeah.
Like they swing and miss and go, oh, we're being satirical because look, inequality exists. You're not fucking saying anything about it. You've said nothing about anything of any impact. That film leaves, I have seen better films left by dishwashing detergent than that film. That's the impression it made on me. Oh. No, there's no lasting impact besides the frustration.
Other than rage, and I'm so happy because, Carney, you watched it today.
Yeah.
I watched it a while ago, and literally I watched it and I was ranting to Holly, my fiance, about how fucking terrible it was because I couldn't believe that I just sat down and watched it. And then I like literally thought about it for a few days and I just said to her, it's too shit to do a movie maintenance on. I'm not going to, because she was sort of saying, oh, do you think you will? I'm like, I've got no interest. Like, who cares the fuck about Matt Damon's character? He doesn't, yeah. He just needs to fuck right off. Anyway, then I finally came to you guys with, we need to at least talk about it because I'm so livid. It wouldn't go away. And then it's been a few weeks.
Yeah.
And basically, well, I watched things that are quality and not pieces of shit and mm-hmm. not bland and sloppy burrito. And then, Connie, you watched today and started messaging us in a group chat and ignited the rage. And I was, oh, I was so happy because I'm like, yes, I need that rage back.
I was so angry. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes, but honestly, like seriously, I'm not joking. I feel like it took me 4 hours to watch it today.
Oh,
I think I kept sort of walking away.
I'm not exaggerating when I said it felt like an entire day had passed.
Mm.
Is it because it's like, is it like small time? Like, is it the whole point of the film? Is it downsizing is such a boring, bland film that just as if you were smaller, things feel longer and bigger, the film also feels longer and bigger?
But even like, Matt Damon's so flawed. For him, it's like, I'm going to do this because I want a fresh start. And then he's literally the same person.
Yeah. Mm.
It's like, just boring.
The most he does is when he goes to the party.
Oh, that's such a fucked...
Which is I'm so fucked.
Matt Damon on drugs is just... Just don't do it, mate. You should know better.
Yeah.
It's exactly, like when he tries to... Right. It's like, oh, what's in it? Oh, I don't think I should take it. I have allergies.
Right.
And then she walks away. No, wait, I'll do it. Yeah. I'll do it.
It's Ned Flanders on drugs. It's like... yeah. Except that would be way better. That would
what
be
if
way
Ned
better.
Flanders downsized? That's exactly what this fucking movie is.
Yeah.
He loses his wife and he's like, whoop. Well, I'm just going to stare at the wall.
Diddly downsize.
Diddly downsize. Oh, I want to watch that movie instead.
The version of this movie that I actually want is basically a war between the downsized people and the other humans.
Yeah.
I just want them to attack like their communities and just all out war. I don't know how that war would last very long.
No, it's a political satire.
Well, let's get into that. So you're all right.
I want a war film.
I had a few ideas for sort of basically, as we've said, there are literally almost endless better movies within this movie that we could have watched. I've just got three that I wanted to sort of discuss with you guys for possible variations of what could have happened. So the first one, all to do with the idea of downsizing. So the first one is that you could have followed people like Nocklan being shrunk against their will. That would have been a fucking amazing bit of cinema, you know. Someone using it as that torture device, really. Like this thing that could save the world and we're going to use it to torture someone.
Yep. Because that would be really nicely juxtaposed if you opened with the TED talk and then smashed cut 10 years later to political prisoners being shrunk against their will.
Beautiful.
Yeah, fuck show yes. The possibilities of it and the optimism, and then 10 years later, this is what bad people have done with it.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that.
Because then she doesn't want to be in the downsized community that she's in.
Right. Yeah.
She's like, fuck this. I want out.
Yeah.
It's irreversible. We can't make you big again.
Right. Rather than bored white dude who wants a bit more cash.
Oh, fuck. So much better already.
Right. So next one that I'm like, that I the pacemaker idea. So someone who can't be shrunk, but all their friends and family are shrinking.
Nice.
And they're kind of trapped in their giant bodies while everyone else is living the life in fucking whatever the town was called, Leisureland.
Yep.
And they're stuck in the shitty big world. Follow that story.
Call that movie Shitty Big World.
Shitty Big World? Hell yeah.
I would watch that too.
Because then again, you can have the big guy getting sucked up into the dude in the bar, like the coach from Glee, being like, nah, fuck, it is the coach from Glee.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And this would be where you go into that war movie. You have someone who can't, and so they're bitter about it, and they blame the little people.
Yeah.
And be like, well, why should they get to vote the same as my vote? I'm the one doing more work than them, blah, blah, blah.
That's what that's the thing I find most interesting about it. Surely you're going to have one guy with a weapon or even just a fucking car who's like, I'm just going to drive through their wall and fucking just...
All he has to do is stand
mow them down.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine like... That's all.
Isn't it pretty big?
Yeah, I mean, it's big, but like you can get in there, surely. Mm. I mean, I'm sure they have security, but like imagine a movie about people being like so pissed off at this movement and they're like, nah, we're going to fucking stop this. And they get in there and just, I don't know, it's like Skynet. Break in there, destroy it all.
Well, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing that I'm going with you here, right?
Yeah.
So you want to do a social satire and a political satire about the current political climate. One of the big things that happened in America was that Republicans who don't give a fuck about the working class made the working class think that they were going to be for them. So what you do is you have like some shitty politician, some grassroots movement, rally all the people who work for fucking downsizing.
Yeah. Right.
There are a lot of staff there that would be paid fuck all to oversee the downsizing process.
Yeah.
Also, that woman is like, oh, I can't because the woman's selling it. What, I can't remember.
I think her husband had a pacemaker or something like that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right.
That's a lie. I reckon that's also fascinating if you just had all the people who were selling downsizing who were like, nah, it's fucking terrible. Like, yeah. It's the worst.
Well, there's another idea. There's actually some side effect to downsizing that they don't tell you about.
Yeah.
It's a scam almost.
Mm. Well, like, it is. It is a scam. That's the inherent premise is that you're miserable outside, you shrink, you're just smaller and still miserable. That's the inherent premise of this film is that all of Matt Damon's problems and things that he hates about the world still exists when he shrunk.
Right.
All the inequality and all that shit still exists just because he shrunk, but they do nothing with that. Mm. So if you have bigs versus littles and you have that kind of the working class people who are like, oh yeah, it's all a scam, it's all bullshit.
Because
then you have the little people being like, oh, maybe it is bullshit.
Right.
Maybe they can't go back. Yeah. It's...
Thematically, I'd like it to be more of the world's not broken, people are.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. People broke the world.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say that is terrifying about this film, though, and this is about to get fairly real for an episode of Movie Maintenance about little people, is you watch that and you're like, ah, fuck, that's happening. So there's that whole thing. It's like all it's going to take is one more CO2 molecule to push us over two degrees and then we're all fucked.
Yeah.
Someone did a study and it's like, oh, that molecule got released in like 1989. Mm. We're fucked.
Oh, the clock's ticking. It's past midnight.
The clock is like... It's actually 4 days after midnight. Right. Like we're into
full. Well, this is sad.
Yeah, we're gonna die.
Yeah.
So invent downsizing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll just die little.
Also on that, they didn't really explore tiny humans in the actual big wide world. Like, show me some humans running from a cat. Like, I know it's cliche, but still, I want to see it.
I want like one of the people who works at the downsizing place. They brought their pet to work that day or something.
Yeah, and it gets loose. You
know? Something like that.
It's like we have a tour. No, here you go. Here's another film. It's about someone who works at the downsizing
thing. Inc. or something like that.
It's
yeah.
like the person, like the person who's the salesperson is like, I want to downsize, but my husband can't because he has a pacemaker. Like, focus on her character,
right?
Focus on the people who are like dealing, like not just the rich white guy that can fucking go in there.
Or you even focus
coming
on a
from the middle class white guy who could probably go into downsizing.
Focus on a character who's downsized and like changed their mind now, and they break out of that world and want to live in the big world and the problems that has.
See, that was the third idea I was going to propose is that you have someone who either gets shrunk against their will or whatever, but there's no slum community in the downsizing world. They've just got to live in the real world as a middle-class person trying to make their way tiny. Like, how fucked would that be?
You'd die.
You would die. But, like, again, that would be an amazing story. Like, just seeing them get to work every day would be the most uphill battle you've ever seen. Yeah. It's like fucking
there are so many flaws in this whole thing, as I'm thinking about. Like, Jason Sudeikis is at that dude's house and they're having a chat. Jason has to have a piss. What the fuck's he going to do? Yeah, piss in a toilet. It's going to take him 4 years to get there.
Sink, cup.
He's not going to walk over and like flop his dick out in a party. No one's going to say it because it's downsized. True. But
yeah,
I mean, that's fucking weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
He's in a glass box. You could see.
Absolutely.
If he did a little poo in the corner, you would see.
Absolutely. What if like that, you know, oh, I've got to nip off to the toilet. Oh, fuck, it's going to take me 4 days. And I might get stepped on. And the toilet's it's just problematic everywhere.
It's brilliant.
I'm more interested in like the criminal aspects that you can explore through it. Like, you could have the world's tiniest assassin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Can they ride a mouse or something awesome like that?
No, they ride a scorpion.
Oh, scorpion.
Oh,
yeah,
my God, nice. That's amazing.
That's how they kill them, with the scorpion stinger.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Or riding on butterflies or whatever.
Yeah, get them, thunder.
So it's Ant-Man.
I just want Ant-Man.
No, do you know what it is?
Yeah.
So the bigs and the littles, there's a bit of tension going on between them.
Yeah.
The president of the United States is big.
Yeah. Okay.
The littles are like, he takes away their voting rights because he goes, all right, four of you equal one vote. Well, so it becomes really difficult, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
To whatever percentage to make
it's
a
like
full person.
It's like 1/38th or whatever.
So 38 equals one vote. Yeah. That's how they do it. And the littles are pissed off.
Hmm.
They're disenfranchised. So the littles try to kill the president.
Yep.
And then the vice president
hires
Dwayne The Rock Johnson to infiltrate the downsizing society.
As a downsized person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Down, shrink.
But you can't go back.
No, that's all right. That's a risk that Dwayne's willing to take.
He's doing it for his country,
mate. They bust him out of prison or something where he's saving life.
Yes.
And they promise to give money to his daughter.
And he becomes the pebble.
Yes.
But okay, and the other idea I've had just while we're talking about this is, right, there. I think one of the biggest problems is with downsizing and the whole concept of it and the themes around it is that I think Alexander Payne created a world and a theme and a whole concept that is too rich and too big to just confine to one story. So I pitched to you, gentlemen, Black Mirror downsizing.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yes.
Yeah. That, yeah, that's
a whole bunch of stories.
That is the solution.
It works in this current era. You put it on Netflix. So cool. 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on the story you want to tell. Different writers, different directors, but the only premise is it all has to take place in the world of downsizing.
Yeah. And then you can actually hit every one of those themes that he's trying to cram in this flaccid mess.
And anyone could do whatever they want.
Yep.
You could have a hardball detective story just set in the world of downsizing.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
that's the fucking fix.
That's
right
how you
there.
That's how you have your sloppy burrito.
That's how you tighten that burrito.
No, you don't, because you do. You have a burrito bowl.
Oh, mate.
And it's a buff.
Spread
you
it out.
You make your own
spread
burrito.
Spread that shit out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ah, fuck. That's actually really good.
That's it.
But that's it. Like, because then you can have, you can focus on the Nokland Tran story about how she's a political prisoner and, you know, it was against her will. You can even have the Matt Damon story of what to do when your significant other is like, actually, I'm bailing. Or if you're the member of the family who can't shrink.
And then we only have to spend 45 minutes with it rather than...
And then that we can deal with.
Oh, and you can even
but
spend
an hour
and
a half.
But
there is a great way to be able to do what happened to Matt Damon. Because that, for me, I was already off the movie, so I didn't trust it enough to make Kristen Wiig not go through with it.
Right.
But I remember thinking as he's walking away, oh, wouldn't it be good if she didn't do it? And then they did, and then they just fucked it still with the 1 year jump thing.
Yeah.
Because you could still do this film as it is. I prefer the Black Mirror idea, but you could still do this film as it is, in which it's just about Matt Damon learning to be okay with himself. Learning to realize that just because he's shrunk doesn't mean his problems have disappeared. His problems are all still there. They're just with him. And the problems that he had with Kristen Wiig are all him.
Yeah.
It's basically him realizing he's a selfish asshole. So you need to make him a bit worse.
You can even do like a cool story where someone goes through the procedure and then after it's done, then there's a whole bunch, they have like a whole bunch of debts. And then like maybe like people come after their family. And so they're like, oh, fuck, these things I didn't think about. I've got to go solve this. But now I'm small.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
how do I do this?
And also even like, let's see the ones that didn't work. Mm. Let's see the early trials where someone, you know, shrinks but their head's still fucking giant or something like that.
Well, that's a great story. That make it about the scientists striving to make this thing a reality.
Yeah,
like, that's a cool story.
That's
basically
a great story.
Every story we could suggest right now would probably be better than the one that we got.
The Black Mirror idea is it. You could have seasons of this show and I'd still be on board.
Here's another concept you play with.
Yeah.
You focus on the Norwegian family, right?
Okay.
That kid. The original
family.
Kid. He grows up, turns 18, sues the fuck out of his parents and was like, I didn't want to be small.
Great.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? I don't want to grow up in a small society.
Yeah. I basically was shrunk against my will.
Yeah.
But everyone's celebrating
it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That kid's not as fucked up as he should be.
No, he should be cooked.
Because he's got the celebrity aspect as well as being
plus
tiny.
He's raised in a little bit of a cult.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That was totally cool. Because even like the
that's
the
another angle. It's a fucking cult.
It's a cult, yeah. Because, he's like, I really, the speech at the end that the scientist gave, I can't remember his name, was good up until it was shit. Then they had like some gag. I can't remember what the fucking gag was. Something that just undermined the whole thing. And then it's like, oh, they're a crazy cult and they're going to walk 11 hours into this molehill or whatever.
It was that. It was the pitch that they didn't have a solution, but they were going to like go down and do this thing and hide in the deepest part of the earth. And they'd been working on it for ages. And Matt Damon's like, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
And Christoph Waltz and Nock Land are like, no, it's not.
No, mate.
This is fucking terrible. Oh.
But what's the alternative? Like, did they give a time frame for when everyone else was going
to
die?
Oh, it was like 100 years. They weren't going to be able to...
No, oh, okay.
They're going to be under there for a while.
Within his lifetime.
No way. They wouldn't be able to come back to the surface in their lifetimes.
So Matt Damon's thing then was like, I want to better the human race.
Yes.
Mm.
It's so weird that, I mean, and this is a failing of the film. They didn't establish that at the start. That wasn't his reason for doing it.
Nothing in the first act
it was financial
connected to the
troubles.
Third act at all. Yeah.
It was financial troubles and the fact that he was disaffected with his life.
It should have, like, if you want to do that, Kristen Wiig at the start needs to be like, don't you want to, you know, protect, like, do something for the future of the world? And then he's like stung into action.
Right.
And then at the end, he's like, nah, fuck the world. I'm going to live for the now. Yeah. Oh, it's so shit. What the fuck?
Yep.
Right. Oh.
Every time they get something like served up on a silver platter, they just like their little small feet trample all over it.
Yeah. Look, I'll say this about the film. For me, as an audience member, it wasn't a love fuck.
it wasn't a pity fuck.
It was like a rage fuck.
Don't you know what? It wasn't even a rage fuck. I wasn't angry about the film until like a good day afterwards when I started thinking about it.
What's the most passionless fuck you can have?
I think it's the one I had. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
The movie's just a sad fuck.
It's a sad fuck.
No, it's not. Do you know what it is?
With tears.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
It's a limp hand job on the back of the school bus. Just like,
From the bus driver?
Anyone.
On that note.
No technique. No Who's technique. Driving the bus? No poise. No. Yeah, I just. I sympathize with Alexander Payne because I see what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, we've shit all over him, but I actually do see what he's trying to do. But again, I think the concept is too big for one man to do in one film.
It was, I'll tell you what it was. It was a first draft. It was like, you've tried. Yeah, a first draft can be total shit. You put everything down. You put any idea you've got down. That's great. And then you decide on a single theme and you tighten that burrito up and you make it nice. You make it delicious. Yeah. And you make it a fucking satisfying meal, not a sloppy, horrid, hand jobby at the back of a bus mess. On that note, I've been Damien.
I've been Tom.
I've been Carney.
And if you want to drop us a line, you can maybe hit us at our email if it exists.
I think, look, the cat's out of the bag by now, so we may as well plug that. So, as you know, Movie Man, as we know it, is coming to an end with our 150th episode live special, live goodbye, farewell, live show.
It'll be a love fuck.
It will be fuck. And maybe a bit of a pity fuck too.
And a sad fuck.
And a sad fuck.
I'm going to be crying away. Just non-stop crying and orgasming at the same time. So come see that.
If you want to see Drob cry and orgasm, you should come check out the show. It's May 18th. It's an all-ages event at the Eureka Hotel. Tickets are available if you go to sanspantsradio.com/live. You can book your tickets there and come and check us out. But in the meantime, you can probably still hit us up at all the usual places.
Yes, on Twitter at MMSanspants or on our individual Twitters, I'm at MidDayPajamas.
I'm at OrcaTreed.
I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Hashtag Sloppy Burrito.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.